This is Mike Crenshaw, and this is the weekly news segment called News from the Boot, brought to you by KBOO Coast Station Managers, myself, or Delphine Crescenzo. Today, I have a very special guest. I have a KBOO volunteer programmer, radio show host, Oba Odu, a.k.a. DJ Some Guy, who does a show called American Paradox. Oba, how you doing?
Very well, very well. Thank you for having me, man. Shouts out to everyone that's that knows DJ Some Guy and everyone that tunes in, man. It was really interesting taking over that slot from the person that's had it for almost 12 years. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Shout out to Jamila.
Jamila.
Back in New York, you know, her hometown, doing good things.
Good to hear.
Yeah, man. So I was so pleasantly surprised to meet you and to find out that you had taken over her spot, because I heard the spot. And before I met you, I was listening to it, and I was like, man, this is some good radio, because you were playing local stuff, you were playing stuff from around the world, you were playing different genres, and you were even talking about things that were interesting to hear being talked about on the radio. So what time for the listeners, what time is your show on?
My show is on the second and fourth Thursday between 8 and 10 o'clock. I believe on the second Thursday, you might catch me 7 to 10, but 8 to 10 for sure.
Okay, so Thursday evenings, about mid-evening.
And
tell us, what is the philosophy behind what you're doing in that space?
You know, thank you for asking such a question, because it's like I couldn't figure out a name. If anyone that's listened has known that I've changed names like 3 or 4 times, because I'm really trying to get a name that talks about the things that I wanted to talk about. And that's like, you know, social, you know, definitely the guy, girl, the yin yang dynamic, person and person dynamic that we got going on right now.
Right.
I wanted to definitely bring music that I thought, you know, people weren't listening to, whether it's local music. Shouts out to your album, because I really still enjoy that. I have it bumping at the crib right now.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Just, you know what I mean? Just to be able to foster some kind of conversation between opposing viewpoints.
Okay. Opposing viewpoints. So what would be an example of a conversation that you've either had or you're looking forward to having scheduled on your show that would be reflective of the opposing viewpoints you're speaking about?
One great example is I have a friend that's in town right now who is he and his lady are going to have a baby soon, and they just found out the gender of the baby. And she's very liberal, and he's more kind of, you know, politics doesn't really deal. He doesn't really deal in that. So kind of giving them both a light and saying, you know, how does a gender reveal inhibit the child's development in today's society? And also a conversation of like, you know, what is it like being the dude in a relationship? Not just her partner, but just like maintaining your masculinity, because I think that's something that's at risk right now.
Okay, so this is very controversial stuff, and it's really good stuff to get into, because the people are all over the place. And I think often in society, we frame things in a binary. In a very black and white, heteronormative, Judeo-Christian binary, if you will. And it's problematic, because there's not a lot of room on the spectrum for people to talk about all the nuances that are actually at play. You know, and I've had this conversation, and I've observed this conversation playing out in our communities around gender and masculinity and a lot of these ideals that we've assigned to people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people who have this like biological orientation, who feel like if you're born with these genitals, then you're supposed to be like this.
Right.
And the reality of it is, regardless of what we think as individuals, there are people who are in the context of self-determination, deciding who they want to be. And I think it's a very unprecedented moment.
Especially with the internet. I think this is like the first time in these last 10 or 15 years, it's the first time where you're seeing a group of people for every person. Mm-hmm. No one is, oh, I only feel this way. You can get on the internet and find someone else that has your experience and has maybe even defined it. You know, there hasn't been a question that I've had that Yahoo Answers doesn't have already, that someone else hasn't asked.
Right.
So when it comes to, you know, heteronormative ideals, there's those of us that find value in both areas and contrive to say, okay, well, you know what, I understand this, but I'm going to go with that. And we can still open up the dialogue and the conversation. But I think that, like you say, there's the spectrum. So a spectrum still has two ends, but it's still a spectrum.
You know, in regard to masculinity and the discussion around masculinity being under threat, it's a very, again, nuanced discussion because I do understand that there are people who have been historically oppressed as part of a political process that has commodified their lives and their relation to the economy and within the power dynamic and even genocidal efforts in relation to power.
Absolutely.
And dominant culture and how it interacts with folks. I'm talking about African-American people.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about African people. I'm talking about Black people. I'm talking about people who would be identified as Latino or Latinx.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about people who are Native American, First Nations, Indigenous people. In the context of people being intentionally destroyed, attacked, erased, and oppressed, masculinity has a different political and cultural place. You see what I'm saying?
I do, absolutely.
And that's something that I think is often missing from the conversation. And I'm not saying we don't need to be critical about our ideas of masculinity, because our ideas of masculinity are also shaped they're shaped by dominant culture.
Mm-hmm.
We have to confront
and
that as well.
Culture. True.
Yeah.
And those are two great points that you say. You know, we do have to confront that. And anything that you believe in should be questioned.
Right.
Everything. Whether it's religion, whether it's your orientation, everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's no room for just accepting on blind faith. And I totally agree with that when you say that. That's really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
But let's have the conversation. And I think that's one thing where if you can't speak on masculinity and how those dominant cultures were dominant cultures that behaved in a masculine. So if they behaved in a feminine way, we would demonize femininity because it was the culture's mindset and how they took from others more so than what I like to call like an African method of patriarchy or masculinity, conscientious masculinity is what I would look for, advocate for, or talk about.
So again, the name of your show is American Paradox. Wow.
Well,
what a fitting title. Because
yes,
I can tell I'm not psychic, but my intuition and my experience tells me that there are a lot of people listening right now who are on the edge of their seat
and they want
to call in and they want to get into this discussion.
It's
wonderful that KBOO can be a place where things like this can be discussed. And there is not a binary. It's not either or. It is both and. We a lot of us, you know, we do community organizing. We have to come to agreements. And some of the meetings we wind up spending time in, and one of those agreements has been accept non-closure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
We don't have to be right, or our point of view doesn't have to be the deciding dominant point of view. But in having these conversations, we have to be able to be at the table and sit with people who we might not agree with, but still honor and respect and learn from what they have to say.
Please, yeah, and learn. And speaking of learning, someone really great for me, I don't want to misspeak by what he said, but he said we don't have to be uniform in our thoughts to be unified in our commitments and our identities.
Right.
To be unified as KBOO volunteers, as KBOO members, staff. I haven't been in this city for a long time, and let me tell you, this is one of the homes that has really helped me branch out. You know what I mean? Really helped me get a sense of who I am as a person. Being able to just hear people say, hey, you know what? I really want to see you on the radio. I really think that you have something to say. That's immensely encouraging to someone that just comes to a city.
I couldn't have said it better, because, you know, oftentimes, especially during pledge drives, it's our role to get on and talk about how awesome KBOO is. And so for you to be a community member that's volunteering, that has space to say what you just said, is really authentic. And I appreciate that. Let's talk about music, man. So we just had a really awesome discussion, shedding light on the type of topics you discuss when you talk. But what about, tell me about the music you play.
Oh, well, the music I play is representative of the life that I've lived so far. So, you know, growing up, my mother, I'm first generation American. I would even call myself American. I'm Americanized more than American. You know what I mean? I'm the true, like, African American, where I have, you know, the passport to be able to go.
You're actually from the continent.
Exactly. And so I grew up with King Sunny Ade. I grew up with Fela, but I also grew up with, like, Kenny G and, like, Kiko Matsui. And these are people that my mother really was into, like, commercial American radio. So I got into that heavily. And I just started, you know, enjoying hip hop when I got into probably middle school and high school, and seeing what hip hop, I grew up in hip hop. I listened to all those other things, but I became my person in hip hop.
Right.
So I always try to branch out, especially in university. I branched out, found out so many different alternative groups that I really would have never listened to. And it's been able to, you know, it shows in my show. You know, we have an hour dedicated to whether it's Afrobeat, whether it's jazz, whether it's I don't even know what to call some of these new genres, because, you know, instrumentals are just, there's so many combinations and the tones and what's going on in music right now is just so phenomenally new that there are no words for it. So this is a place where I can hopefully, you know, shed some light on some new artists for people.
Man, that is really exciting. I know, you know. So where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Nigeria.
Okay. And where in Nigeria are you from?
Lagos.
So okay. That's a big city.
Lagos is the biggest city.
That's one of the biggest
in
cities
Africa.
In the world.
It's the biggest city on the continent.
What's the population there?
Something like
20 million or something?
28 million. 27 million last time, like 2006.
Man. Yeah. So, like, how many different, not to make you the spokesperson for
from
Nigeria,
what I heard,
but
hey, you know what?
You are Nigerian.
I'll do that.
So, how many ethnicities and languages are there in Nigeria?
That's beautiful that you said ethnicities and languages, because there's a common culture, but then there's land specific culture. So it's just like, you know, how, you know, broken English in America is called, they called it Ebonics or whatever you want to call it, but it's all still broken English, and broken English has been talked all over the world. And so there's broken Yoruba cultures, there's broken Igbo cultures, there's over 200 dialects.
Dang.
Distinct languages and cultures in Nigeria. And you know, like, Africa has never been a place where, like, that should have... Nigeria shouldn't be a country. It should be, like, 8 to 12 countries or something like that.
If countries, you know, would even be the proper terminology.
Thank you.
Because, you know, left to their own devices, how would the ethnicities of the continent of Africa have delineated their regions?
Their regions. And they did for
thousands
of years.
They had it before the Europeans even got there,
for
right?
For thousands
before the
of
Berlin
years.
Conference.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
before
we were
the
doing
Berlin
things.
Conference. We had Mali, we had Songhai, we had all these immense civilizations.
Azania, you know, it's... So, I'm saying, so like with over 200 different dialects, many, many different ethnicities, there's got to be some dynamite music. Right?
Like, I'm so, I don't know if I'm partial because I grew up in it, or I felt like it's the best music on the continent right
Come
now.
On.
You see where Afrobeats is coming from right now. Ghana and Nigeria have it on lock right now.
I can't wait to go to Lagos.
Lagos is dope.
I'm going to have to hit you up. I got one comrade, but you're going to have to connect me with some folks, man.
Crew, man.
Yeah.
Just make sure you don't go to Victoria Island.
Okay.
Because one thing that I'll tell people about Nigeria and any other country, don't go. A big city is a big city. Mm-hmm. Money is money everywhere you go. You'll see the same cars that you'll see in Berlin that you'll see on Victoria
Island. So, for those that don't know, what is it? Is it a tourist destination for people that want to go to
Victoria Island? Is where everyone that has any kind of money has some kind of property.
So, when you want to see African wealth,
is where you
on
go.
Front Street. That's where you go.
Which makes you. I never want to see African wealth in Africa because. Of the, there's no middle class.
The disparity.
It's extreme.
Yeah.
So it makes you go, oh, why is this here?
Right. And I often hear when I'm on a continent with other Africans in other regions, there's always a conversation inevitably about how Nigerians are the wealthiest Africans. And people have their jokes. And, you know, it's not offensive to me because it's Africans making fun of Africans. You know,
we all got those in jokes, of course.
Yeah,
and it's you breed a tank full of, like, you know, guppies at first. Eventually they're gonna become sharks if that tank is small enough. But speaking of your trip to Africa, thank you. Thank you for taking a young comrade that's in the music scene as well. Baki, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Baki calls, man. Shout out to Baki.
Man, both of you guys having that trip just touched me in a way. It's like, yo, this is masculinity. Mm. this is conscious masculinity. You being able to scoop up a young brother and say, hey, let me take you to the motherland. Let me show you what's up. And putting that in him, man, that's huge.
Thank you, brother. We're at 15 minutes.
That's it.
It's been great talking to you, Oba. Again, I want people to tune in on Thursday nights to American Paradox. Tell them what time it's on.
It's 8 to 10. Hashtag American PDX. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Peace.
KBOO is in this year's Willamette Week Give Guide. KBOO has inspired and supported communities for nearly 50 years. You were an important part of this work, and your gift to KBOO builds fiercely just, creative, and independent radio. Join your friends and neighbors in supporting KBOO in the Give Guide. It's easy and secure. Help us make our $18,000 goal before December 31st. Go to the giveguide.org website and find KBOO in the Creative Expression section. And as always, thank you for your support of KBOO.
Hey KBOO listeners, this is Nick Deasy, and thank you for tuning in to Keeping It Real. Every first Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. and every fifth Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Members like yourself are what keeps this great show going. If you are not a member now, you can become one by going to kboo.fm. Thank you for tuning in.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock.